meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome on this very hot, humid day in Chicago. How is it?
It's a sauna.
Is this?
It's like a steam sauna. Room. It's really hot and steamy.
Very, very hot.
Hot. I haven't been out yet, but I can feel it inside, you know.
Yeah. The heat is on.
So I am, Father Anthony in live.
This is live.
This is live.
We're live. We're live.
You're back, and I am your brother, and I do share with you the distress, the endurance, and the kingship or the kingdom we have in Christ Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Distress, endurance, kingdom. It's so real to me these days, you know. So anyway, how are you doing, Tony?
I am interestingly fine.
Interesting.
That's great.
For a change. Yeah, no, you're fine, more fine than you
exactly.
give yourself credit for. So, because you always have a good spirit.
Exactly, I try.
Which is what we're all chronic complainers. You know, there's much to complain about. You know, there's...
And you know, and misery loves company.
Misery loves company, yes. But we're not miserable, are we? How are you, Christine? How are you?
I'm tired. I think this weather drains you.
Oh, my gosh.
It tires you out more than, you know...
It's heavy.
It is heavy.
It's very heavy.
And it's like I have to push myself.
Yeah, I always feel sorry for the people that are actually out there
working.
Oh, jeez. I can't even imagine.
Or the people in the soup kitchen, they're cooking.
Yeah, and there's no air conditioning.
And there's no air conditioning. It's hot. Yeah.
It's hot. And Geraldine, how's Geraldine doing?
Back in high school, too.
What's that?
We had no air conditioning when I went to high school, too. So when you get hot during the later months, when summer was approaching, it would, boil in there. And you feel the same way right now, too.
In Florida, that was the same. I went to school in Florida, and we didn't have air conditioning
in
those days.
Well, the school kids over here, they don't have air conditioning. They're not there
anymore.
Oh, they're summer.
They're summer
camp.
Yeah, so they're... They're so sweating it out, but they're kids.
Kids can
take it.
Yes.
Although I shouldn't say that, because I have to say one classroom is air conditioned for some reason.
It's the computer room.
No, well, I think that one, that's...
Is it the computer
room? But there's one classroom, actually.
Oh, really?
Because the people that go in and out of the computer room, they have, they share it. The whole school shares. But there is one classroom that is, I think it's a fourth grade, but I think it is. It's air conditioned. I think it's a fourth grade. And I remember last year, as this was at the beginning of the year, and it was a very, very hot day. And I'm going to the classrooms visiting the students, and they were, in the heat and the heaviness. It was kind of like this, hot and humid. And they were just you go into the classroom and you could just see that there was no
energy,
no spirit. You know, everybody was just kind of. do they say, the dog days of summer?
Right.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And but I walked into the when I went into the only room that was air conditioned.
Oh, they were light.
Everybody, they were alive and happy. And I asked the teacher, "How did you, you were blessed to have this classroom, with the air conditioner?" But anyway, so wow, I tell you, a lot to talk about. You can see here, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9
stack.
Yeah, too much maybe. Too much. I don't know if I can do justice to much. But we won't get it all today. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be on the air. And people, I apologize. I'm back 1 week and gone a week. But when I'm back, and so I'm, for those who don't know, I'm going through chemotherapy every other week. So I'm in Rochester, and when I come back, I expect to have the energy and to do what I normally do, but what would you say? Probably about half of what I do, or maybe one third of what I normally do, in the parish. The body just it just doesn't allow me. The fatigue and the effects.
The body wants rest. And we're amazed at what you do, Father. Most people are not, they can't do much because of the effects of the chemo.
Yeah, I just, I'm not very graceful about it. So, you know, I do what I can, but my frustration is, as Christina knows, because every day I'm going, it's the same narrative every day. You know, why am I like this? Why can't I?
That's the reality.
You
know? That's how you can't help it.
It's just so frustrating. I just can't reconcile with that, really, that fact. I'm hoping that by October this will be behind me. But so my hope certainly was to be on the radio Monday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. Thursday, and Friday. Thank God for Father Coyes, who comes on Wednesdays. But I just the body just doesn't allow it, and so
yeah,
by mid morning.
Yeah, my parents on Tuesday too, and they were looking forward to seeing the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll be bringing
them
down again too.
Yeah,
so
do that.
They're retired,
yeah.
And they're anxious to see.
Yeah,
I
wanted to see them, and my hope was to be on, but I just couldn't.
No, it's reasonable.
So.
It's understandable.
Anyway, but
you're forgiven this time.
Thank you, Nick. You absolved me of my of my sin.
All right, but it's okay.
Okay, very good. We miss Jerry. She'll be back tomorrow. No, she won't be. Tomorrow's her birthday.
Oh, Jerry's birthday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Jerry.
So tomorrow we
happy
have to
birthday,
wish her a happy.
Jerry.
We already wish you a happy birthday in
we
anticipation.
We miss you, Jerry.
So we do miss her. She's a trooper. I mean, she's amazing, really.
She's
you know?
Strong.
What she does. Talk about the. Nothing holds her back. You know, she just.
No, she's a fighter.
Keeps going. She's an incredible woman. Incredible. You know, so let me just. Let me think. What I want to say. I always go back, and I've mentioned this before on the radio, and as I say, you know, you have to hear something seven times before you remember it. Mm-hmm. I believe
sometimes
it's
a lot
30
more.
Times before you remember it. For myself, you know, I have to hear something over and over and over
seven
again.
Times 70.
So I, 70 times 70, yeah.
70 times 70.
But I had a private meeting with Pope Benedict. Mm-hmm. When I say private, I don't mean it was just the
was
Pope
the
and me, but we. It was with some other priests, but it was a small group of priests, and it was in preparation for the radio. So I was in Rome studying, these were all priests that were going to mm-hmm. go into radio ministry. And so we had the privilege, you know, really a blessing to be in an audience with the Pope, I mean, deep behind the walls of the Vatican. It was mm-hmm. I've never been back there. It's really, really, really impressive, unbelievably impressive, you know. And so we had a private meeting with the Pope, and he said, Pope Benedict, he said, you know, this was the gist of his counsel to us. I would say his exhortation or his counsel to us. But he says, you must today. Exercise your prophetic office. And that struck me so powerfully. He says, you get to read the signs of the times. You must exercise your prophetic office. Now, all of us, as we're mm-hmm. baptized, you know, and I can't stress this enough, that we need to begin to realize that we are disciples of Christ, you know, that we've been chosen by God, it's for the mm-hmm. it's for the sake of others, you know, beyond the mystical body of Christ, because all are destined. When I say destined, I mean that Jesus, he laid down his life for the whole of humanity, for all time. In order, he redeemed us, he saved us. And with God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world, which means we have to recognize our need for salvation, that we need to be saved, you know, from something or someone or some, salvation means, from sure. the original sin, the effect of original sin, which explains, you know, the divisiveness, the darkness, the evil, the pain, the suffering that is mm-hmm. ever present in the world. His light came into the darkness, and as Christians, we're called to bear that light, understanding that people choose darkness. Mm-hmm. They choose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So, in any case, we all of us, by virtue of baptism, by the fact that we're all disciples of Christ, discipleship, we're servants of God, we serve God, in other words, we're disciples, which means we're students of the Master. He's the supreme Master. And it's in living that discipleship that we come into friendship with with Jesus? Because I think I'd have to go back and check, but it seems to me that it was only at the end of his journey, you know, at the night before he died, after he instituted the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus says, "I call you friends." Now, these are the disciples that remained with him, right? Even though they were, you know, just within hours, they were gonna they're gonna abandon him. They're gonna flee Christ, all but John, the beloved disciple, the evangelist. But in any case, you know, having stayed with him, he says, "I call you friends, your friends." So this idea of friendship with God, with Christ, is something that, I don't know, can I say we in a sense, we kind of earn that through our perseverance, mm-hmm. our staying with him, yes. you know, recognizing that we are, first of all, servants of God. We must serve God, know God, love God, serve God, because the church always says that, you know, the three things that we must do in life is we must come to know God, to love God, and to serve God. You can't love what you don't know. So knowledge of God is important, because it's knowing God that we can then love God. And in loving God, naturally, we're going to want to serve God, right? You don't serve what you don't love. You mm-hmm. don't love what you don't know, or you don't know. Mm-hmm. So this idea of service, servants. The Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, in the Annunciation, she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord." I'm in other words, a servant of God. Servants, we serve God. We serve God because we love God. We love God because we know God. Okay, so now as disciples, as servants of God, I guess the modern world doesn't like that word servant. You know, mm-hmm. this is
who wants to serve.
Who wants mm-hmm. to serve? People serve, but this idea
they
that
they want
to
be served.
Serve the supreme exactly. the supreme authority sure. of God. That God right. He obliges, we're obligated, mm-hmm. we have an obligation, a responsibility before God, and that obligation, that responsibility, again, is to know, to love, and to serve God, and we serve God in the service we render to one another, mm-hmm. okay? But we're, so as baptized, as baptized Christians, as Catholics, as Christians, we share in the priesthood of Christ, mm-hmm. in the kingship of Christ, which is a great, we have a great dignity, a sense of nobility, which is a beautiful thing. We share in the priesthood of Christ insofar as we intercede, we make sacrifice, you know, we think beyond ourselves. And of course, we share in the prophetic office of Christ Jesus, which means that we read the signs of the times. When I say prophetic office, it's not predicting, you know, it's mm-hmm. not, we can say, well, okay, let's not even use the word prediction, because if we don't change, if we see that, you know, we're going down a wrong path as a people, you know, any loving parent who sees their child, their son or daughter, step down the wrong path, they know that, you know, if you persist, if you continue down this path, you're gonna hurt yourself. You're gonna hurt yourself, and you're gonna hurt others as well. Mm-hmm. So we see as humanity, as a people, we're going down the wrong path. We read, we see the signs. We see, this is so. In that sense, we can say, well, this is not gonna end well. Yes. This is not gonna end well at all. So we're not actually. So there, in a sense, you can say, well, there's a little bit of a prediction where but it's not that we can predict and say, well, at this time and this day, you know, this is what's going to happen. We're not the fortune tellers, you know, we're not mm-hmm. fortune tellers. We're not making that kind of prediction. But we read the signs of the times to say, you know, this is a path that we should not be on this path. We mm-hmm. should not be going in this direction. Or we need to, you know, make correction and help each other to live in truth, you know, the truth that sets us free. Which is, again, you know, knowing God, loving God, and serving God, or as I say so often on the radio, I'm thinking this all the time. I was so impressed when I read where St. Paul, as he was leaving Ephesus, and he spoke to the priests, and he says, you know, I'm leaving you now. I'm using my own words, but he says, I'm leaving you now, I'm not going to lose any sleep. You know, I don't have any anything bearing on my conscience, because I've given you the full counsel of God. I've held nothing back. In other words, you have I gave you the truth, the full counsel of God, and so I can go in peace. Whatever you do with this, it'll be on your conscience, but I can sleep peacefully because I did not, I was not, what would you, I was not negligent in proclaiming the full counsel of God, the strong teachings, the challenge, the obligations, the responsibilities that are inherent in so far as we belong to Christ, been chosen by God through baptism for our salvation, but also for the salvation of others, for the good of others. So, having said that, this idea that the Pope impressed upon me and upon the other priests is that we must not neglect the prophetic office. So I'm saying, okay, we all share in that. Priests, in a very specific way, in a very unique way, perhaps, share in the priestly, kingly, and prophetic office of Christ Jesus. And we're to guide the people, to govern, to sanctify the people of God, to teach, to bring people to understand what is, you know, the nature, what is the mission that has been, what is the nature in our lives as Christians, what is expected of us, and what is the mission, and how do we live that mission, ultimately to bear light in the darkness, to bring people to know, to love, and to serve God, to be disciples. You know, Jesus says, I send you as, we're disciples. What did Jesus say? He says, make disciples of all the nations, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so this idea of the prophetic, we're going to take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll explain let me just say real quickly, and then I'll enflesh this when we come back. I have been just overwhelmed, and I mentioned this before when I was on the radio, when I came back after I was away for 2 months after the surgery. I had major surgery, and then had to recuperate for 2 months in Rochester, came back, and then I began the chemotherapy. And so I'm, as I said, 1 week here, 1 week there. Limited as to what I can do, but at the same time, I've said, and I want to say it again, and I wanted to do something. You know, what can I do to convey my gratitude, my gratitude to so many people who have been praying for me, masses have been celebrated all over the archdiocese. I've received mass cards and novenas and the prayers and the well wishes. It's just been overwhelming. It's been overwhelming, and I'd love to have the time and the energy, certainly, to sit down and respond to each and every person who has prayed for me, who has sent well wishes, who have had masses offered. So I wanted to. So I decided, well, what can I do? Well, this is what I'll do. You know, I'll write a letter, and I'll put it in the Catholic paper, right? Just as a way of not only expressing my gratitude, but also, you know, let's take it beyond myself, because, you know, the mystery of suffering, and let's put it within a larger context. So I did that, and I'll tell you what happened when we come back, okay? Mm-hmm. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back, and then I'll explain what happened, what I wanted to share with you. But anyway, so I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to, what is it, the listener-supported Winds of Change, on AM 750 WNDZ. I almost forget. See, that's why I should be on more often. All right, everybody, we'll be right back.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance.
For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
In Homer Glen, Illinois, lies an award-winning 10-acre restored prairie which surrounds Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church. The prairie brings peace and tranquility to the surrounding neighborhood, and where the children can play, find nature, and experience the meaning of serenity just beyond their backyard. We celebrate the prairie with all the things it brings. Friday through Saturday, August 12th through the 14th.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to the best ever Prairie Fest.
During these 3 days, you can enjoy great bands like 16 Candles, Infinity, Nick Lynch, and Polka with Polka Generations. Here's just a taste of what you'll hear. Also at Prairie Fest, see the Brazilian dancers, the Elite Dance Academy, and the Polish Highland Dancers. There will be ethnic and festival food with a beer garden, raffles, children's games, prairie and church tours, plus a grand cash raffle with over $12,000 in total prizes. You can even learn how to paint a picture of the prairie from master artist Father Thomas Loyer while sipping some wine in the wine art studio. Prairie Fest. Friday through Saturday, August 12th through the 14th, Prairie Fest at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Complete details, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, my letter. Mm-hmm. It bothered me to no end. I thought, well, you know, I want to vent, you know, I want to share with you
the distress,
the endurance, and the kingship we have in Christ
Jesus. That's why we're here.
It just, this bothers me because this tells me something about someone's, just say that.
Where some people are at.
So I sent this letter to the Catholic paper, mm-hmm. you know, took out, I was going to make it a full ad because mm-hmm. I really wanted to, you know, to really and pay for it myself, you know, mm-hmm. As a way of, I call it an open letter of gratitude and solidarity. Mm-hmm. Solidarity. So I write about my own experience, you know, a little bit. I don't want to keep the focus on myself, but, you know, this is what's happened to me. This is, I wrote that being a priest 30 years, you know, like with many priests, I've accompanied so many through sicknesses and sad tragedies and, you know, all part of the life journey from here to there. But now having stepped into the world of the sick, I see life and faith from a slightly different perspective and almost embarrassed that I didn't quite understand understand the ramifications of the body's assault to the soul. And so this gives me a greater empathy, okay? So that's very nice, you know, it's true. But then I wanted to take it and bring it into a bigger context, you know. In other words, it's not about me, but I say gratitude and solidarity. So I say, you know, as faithful and simple Christians, we're all passing through the crucible of suffering as we sadly witness a diabolical disorientation, a kind of cancer, that has taken root in the soul of our society and the world, and that as Christians, more than ever, we need each other as a reminder that we're not alone, though we may increasingly feel like strangers in a foreign land, sometimes even strangers within the mystical body of Christ, that would be the church. Mm-hmm. So I write that. And then I say, you know, together with Jesus, we are by faith and in his grace, lovers of life. We love the people of God along with the whole beauty of God's creation. Mm-hmm. Even so, I write, Jesus warned us that we are at enmity with the world, There is a spiritual combat ever afoot. We don't deceive ourselves into thinking otherwise. We mean well to befriend the world, but at the same time, not at the expense of God's full counsel. Time tried and tested through the ages. And to compromise the full counsel of God is a disservice to the people of God. So our world has indeed lowered the standard, but the church ever holds high the truth alone that sets us free. So I write this.
Oh,
and this is the Lord's mandate to us, and he held nothing back in his counsel to us that we brace ourselves for persecution and know that we will be hated on account of his name. Mm-hmm. And so I say, I bring this to your attention that you be reminded that you are not alone if you are feeling rather confused by the unfolding events mm-hmm. enveloping the world. So together we trod this narrow path. Jesus calls it the way of the cross. We have the Lord's promise that he will not abandon us, and indeed he will lighten the weight of the crosses we collectively bear. He shows us time and time again, eventually darkness and death will yield to light and life for those who love God. And then I say, I am reminded of the words of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, the false gods of this world will be unmasked by the suffering faith mm-hmm. of simple believers. Now, they took all that out.
Yeah.
They took it out.
I had that feeling.
I was shocked. So they sent it back,
mm-hmm.
and everything else was there about, you know, I'm you know, the my wanting to thank mm-hmm. the people for, mm-hmm. You know, for the prayers, and, you know, that there's a priest, you know, the very things. But the meat, the message I really wanted to convey was just what I just shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they deleted, they took it all out.
You know what that means now, right?
What does it mean? What does it mean?
It means that there's a second book coming.
Perhaps I could, maybe, huh?
That's it.
But isn't that just bothers me to no end.
Yeah.
And no response, just, you know, they sent it back an edited version,
mm-hmm.
having deleted all that. And they said, you know, just for your approval that, you know, so we can, you know, place the ad for your, as you requested. Mm-hmm. But this is what the editors have added to the letter.
Tell me you saved your money and said no, thank you.
I said I cannot. I said, you know, you've ruptured the message.
Mm-hmm.
You've ruptured the message, and so I'll look for some other way to convey my gratitude and my solidarity with the people of God. I'm a pastor. I'm a priest. My job, my mission, my vocation, is to preach the full counsel of God, to read the signs of the times. It's part of this the prophetic office, right?
Yes.
Read the signs of the times. What is happening? And I know that there are many, many, and maybe we're the few, you know, strangers in a foreign land. Maybe it's the Anawim, you know, the little flock that is suffering the faith, mm-hmm. you know. The false deities will be unmasked with the suffering faith of humble believers, simple believers. I was so disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By this, I didn't, Jesus said, well, you know, shake the dust from your feet and leave peace and move on. Now, so why am I talking about this? Because this is part of the problem. This is part of the problem.
Yes.
Is that people are not getting the full counsel mm-hmm. of God. And, you know, we've got to be politically correct. We got to keep things soft and comfortable. I mean, what they basically kept in the letter was all the nice, soft things. Thank you, and I'm more empathetic now, and mm-hmm. and this kind of stuff. But the message,
yes.
the meat, the food for the soul, mm-hmm. which takes it way beyond myself to put it in a context of suffering, because mm-hmm. you know we've listened to this the last two Sundays. Paul in his I don't remember what letter, but he talks mm-hmm. about the sharing in the sufferings of Christ, that I make up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. Well, nothing is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, but he is the head, we're the body. And so we, through our sufferings, we share in the sufferings of Christ, mm-hmm. and we offer the suffering for the salvation and for the sanctification of others. And in a sense, you know, we have the grace to recognize that our suffering is reparative. You know, it's a reparation. I was livid. This is exactly what I mean by feeling like a stranger mm-hmm. in a foreign mm-hmm. land, even within the mystical body of Christ, within the church, because we cannot disturb or offend or challenge or rock the boat. I just find it.
These are the times we live in.
These are the times we live in. These are the times. Anyway, there's a related some other things that I was. I told somebody, now the evangelicals would welcome this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Although I've been reading just the last couple of days a number of articles, a number of commentaries or commentaries on what's happening in, it's just happening all over the place, that there is a watering down, I call it dumb down, water it down, make it comfortable, make it easy, don't challenge, don't offend. And as a result, what's happening? We become irrelevant. We become irrelevant. And so I've been reading a number of articles on what has happened to the millennials. Very interesting. We're going to talk about that in a moment as well. But this is, you know, this is the problem. This is part of the problem, is that we've going back to Pope Benedict, the Holy Father, Emeritus Benedict, we are reluctant to exercise our prophetic office. It's very easy to talk about, you know, working with the poor and taking care of the needs of others. We know that. This is something that, you know, it's not even that, you know, you have to necessarily go to a soup kitchen. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. You know, it's very necessary. But we have opportunities every day. This is part of the mission of the church. You know, we as Christians, we have to be conscious of the fact that people we meet on a day-to-day basis, that we treat them with respect, with kindness, with dignity, give them the dignity that is due them. We go out of our way to help people, you know, to be of service to others. All that has to begin under the roof of our own homes. It's hard enough sometimes in the marriage, in the family, with the people you have to work with, live with on a day-to-day basis. That's where it begins, whether it's a charity, begins at home. And then, of course, you know, in this hustle, bustle, busy world we live in, you know, it's what can we do to alleviate, you know, the poverty or the violence that is on the increase in the society. I tell you, even here in our own neighborhood, I was just there's going to be a meeting Friday with the aldermen, with three aldermen from this area. But just right over here, Division, Milwaukee, and Ashland, what do they call that? The Triangle. Crime is just at an alarming rate on the increase. Did you know that? Did you read the letter?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I was reading it in the letter. And so, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do? Well, everything has to begin with the self, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we dumb it down, or when we're trapped by political correctness, or we don't want to offend, or we want to make Christianity comfortable, I suggest that if I were to really push them on this and say, you know, hey, buddy, what happened? what did you do? What did you do to my letter? Why did you take the words of Christ Jesus, who said that the night before he died? He says, you know what? He says, I'm not going to promise you. It's not going to be easy. He says, as they hated me, they're going to hate you. As they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you on account of my name. On account of my name. There are many who are confused by what is happening in the society. And if we're not, as a church, proclaiming the full counsel of God, none of this should surprise us. Mm-hmm. None of this, what's happening. But I tell you what, let's take a break, and then I'll come back. And speaking of evangelicals, I was reading just this morning Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, a Baptist. He was a great Baptist a preacher, Billy Graham. He's still alive, I think.
I think he is.
But his son is very outspoken as well. And I thought, well, you know, this guy is okay. Here's a prophetic message that you know, to hear this from the church. And it's not that you don't. There are pastors and priests that do this. But I'm sad to say that in far too many situations, it seems to me that it's not being heard. And so what happens? The religion becomes irrelevant because it's not being lived or proclaimed in truth. It's just been watered down, and which, again, we'll make it comfortable, we'll make it, we're not going to offend, it's all about love, you know, let us, you know, this, anyway. Okay, so we'll take a break, we'll come back, and
I'll share with you the title of the commentary. His commentary is America is on the precipice of anarchy. Mm-hmm. Now people say, well, this is very negative, but you know, again, the prophetic. Uh-huh. Read the signs of the times.
Exactly.
Read the signs. Know history. Know biblical history. Even apart from biblical history, just know history. And understand that we're so foolishly on that same path to our own demise if we do not wake up. If we don't wake up, set things right, put things on the right path. But anyway, take a break. We'll come back and I want to share with you his, prophetic word. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portland Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, where you can obtain a plenary indulgence by visiting us during this year of mercy with the usual qualifications. Then, of course, there is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you want to help save unborn babies and their moms from the trauma of abortion? The Women's Centers invite you to join their team of welcoming volunteers. Their life-saving pregnancy centers help women considering abortion to choose life. They've been around for 31 years and have saved over 39,000 babies and moms from abortion. You can help in reception. Prepare bottles for spare change campaigns. Help clients shop free in our family room, or even do school service hours. Volunteering is Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. and on some Saturdays. Please call Volunteer Director Paige Scarlett at 773-794-8808. That's 773-794-8808 to get started volunteering for the Women's Centers of Greater Chicagoland.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, it's good to be back. It really is. Now I feel energized.
That's right.
This is what I need. I need the radio every day is what I should do. I'd rather, regardless of what I feel, I should just come on and just, you know, God will give the energy. But, Christina, you know. Sometimes I just say, I can't. Anyway, so America is on the precipice of anarchy. Now, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be if there's a change.
Yeah.
But if we don't see a change. But hey, this is a... the son of the great evangelist, Billy Graham. His son Franklin Graham, who's also a Baptist minister, mm-hmm. a pastor of a Baptist church, and he says, and I concur with everything he says. He says our country, I don't have to tell you, is in trouble. You know that. The only hope for this country is God. It's not the politicians. It is God. But God uses politicians, and we pray for the politicians that they will listen to God's voice and that they will hear his voice. And he stressed that that although God has blessed America more than any other nation on earth, the country is heading on the wrong direction morally, spiritually, and racially. He says, as a nation, we have been running away from God. The secularists, the progressives, many of these people, most of them are people who would be atheistic. And we have taken God out of our country. We have taken him out of our nation. We've taken him out of our government. We've taken him out of the education system. And our country is beginning to implode. We are we are on the precipice of anarchy. He speaks about the violence that has been perpetrated against police officers. He says there's no excuse for this because a policeman may make a mistake, because a policeman may do something wrong somewhere else. To think that we can have some kind of justice by going out and killing innocent policemen who are doing their job to protect us, this is lunacy. If a nation forgets God, she will lose the blessing that God has given her. And this is a biblical truth, you know. If we forget God, if we turn our back on God, then we lose the blessing that God has given We are losing God's blessing. We are losing His hand of protection. And then he offers this prayer. It's very beautiful. He says, Father, he says, we are guilty of bowing down to false gods, the false gods of materialism, pleasure. We have legalized the killing of children in their mother's womb. We have legalized same-sex marriage. Father, I know that this grieves your heart. As a nation and as a people, we seem to be in danger of losing our souls. We look at a world that is in desperate need of your forgiveness. We are in trouble morally, economically, racially, spiritually. We see the wars in the Middle East, the migration of millions of refugees. We see the corruption, the greed, the lust. Who can save us? There's only one, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. That was the prayer that he offered. What do you think?
It's a beautiful prayer. But I can see people not seeing that, because I think a lot of people are just, I stand by this. They're just going through life and they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. And I think, dare I say, they don't want to know anymore. I think we're past the point. This is weird coming from me, but I've listened to this year after year and like just looking at the sign of the times. I mean, listening to what's going on and, you know, with the elections and seeing what people do. And just when you talk about how there's crime, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Things like this are going to start happening.
So how do you respond? I can understand, you know, don't rock the boat. Don't make people feel uncomfortable. Don't offend. Don't withhold some of the hard teachings, you know, because, you know, somehow we're going to win people. No, this isn't going to happen. No. It's not going to happen.
I was thinking earlier when you were talking, I mean, just with your letter, I have been blessed, I mean, I can say this, being here at St. Stan's, and I've been to different parishes, and you hear, you know, priests, good men, like Father Coyce, Father Loya, some of the priests that have come in here, they're out there. And when you hear about the things that go on, how people want to keep it even keel, and you want to almost squelch the truth, you can't do that. That's the product of what's happening here. Look around. If you if you water down things, then nobody knows where you stand.
No judgment. Mm-hmm. Right. Who am I to judge? You know, God is love.
We're not the ones judging. No, that's the thing.
We have an obligation. See, the thing is, we have an obligation as Christians. We have as people of God, because everybody. See, I always go back to what the scripture says, and Jesus reaffirms this in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, and I repeat this so often on the radio, but that God has given us the law. Live within this law. This is what it is. And I tell you, I read the scriptures daily. The Psalms. The Divine Office, which contains the Psalms, the Liturgy of the Hours, the Mass every day, and I'm immersed. I live. My life is lived in and through the Scriptures. I mean, I'm not. This is just the way it is. You know, there's life. After I had surgery, you know, in Rochester, they sent me all kinds of material on cancer and this and that, and I couldn't touch. I couldn't even go close to that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I was able finally, when I finally left the hospital, and I couldn't go to Mass yet, but when I was able to, I had my Liturgy of the Hours, my breviary, and just to be able to open that up, it's like, now this is food for the soul. This is going to help me to get through this, and indeed it does, because there's nothing, because again, it's not superficial, it's not Pollyannish, it's about the stuff of life, you know, suffering and death and darkness and light and hope and peace and joy and God ever so close, God seemingly far away. It's the stuff of the journey of life. You know, we're living in this kind of reality. This is the reality of life. You know, the deacon mentioned this to me, and this comes out of scripture as well, but on Sunday, and it just hit me when he said it. He says, you know, because maybe we're talking to the choir, because many of the people that I in the church here at least, you know, we seem to be on the same page. And he says, yeah, I just, I just, Well, because that morning the police officers had been killed in Louisiana and all this. And he says, you know, people got to wake up, you know. Mm-hmm. When the sun shines, it shines on everyone. when the rain comes, it's going to rain on everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's going to escape. We're foolish to think we're going to escape the suffering that's coming. If we don't change, if we don't wake up and decide, you know, we need to put things right. So what I wanted to say is from the book of Deuteronomy, from the book of the Exodus, you know, the laws of God are written into our hearts. It's in the nature. We know truth. And the church is, you know, she has the mission to bear light in darkness, to bring people to understand, recognize, appreciate, fulfill, and love that law that is written into our hearts, because that's what's going to set us free. Which means, you know, that we have to, we can't allow ourselves to be guilty of some kind of self-adulation or mm-hmm. self-idolatry or make gods of others, you know, the people of Hollywood or the politicians or the sports figures, you know, that we emulate, we imitate. No, but that God first in all things. We come from God, we go to God, in God we live. God has fully revealed himself in Jesus. Jesus says, I've come not to take anything of the law away, he emphasizes nothing, not a period, not a comma, not a quote, nothing from, no, but I come to fulfill the law. And as I say, as I share with you so often, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, I'm going to take you beyond the laws of God. I'm calling you into a life of high virtue. I mean, to obey the laws of God is to live virtuous lives. But I want you to even go beyond that, he says, and that by the grace and the power of the Spirit. Now, truly, I mean, you just watch the television, listen, sometimes even, sad to say, but listen to the politicians, watch the television, and you know that there is little appreciation for the laws of God. You can't go to a movie today. It's rare, I guess. I don't go to many movies, so maybe you guys can be the better judge of this. But, you know, the language, the violence. I mentioned this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but I find it so comical, so sad, I should say mm-hmm. sad. Maybe not comical, but sad, that so often the people of Hollywood, the so-called stars, they come out, you know, as activists for protection of the animals or for gun control, but yet they're the perpetrators of violence. And so we're just inundated with violence. I did go to a movie, you know, when I was in Rochester, you know, first movie I'd been to in a theater, you know, in many, many years, it seems to me, probably since The Passion of the Christ, since The Passion of the Christ, and that was many years ago. But I forgot the name of the movie. But it was a good movie, actually, about the miracle. Like that. But that was the movie was good. But all leading up to that movie, you know, the previews of all the other movies, and it's just amazing the violence. The violence. Yes. I'm super sensitive to that. I couldn't, you know, it's too much, too loud, too gross, too bloody. Usually, if somebody wants me to see a movie, I ask, is there violence in the movie? Because I really don't have the stomach for that stuff. You know, it's too graphic these days. In fact, it was really the last movie that I saw and part of it is because I had been working with or had to deal with the violence, gang violence in the neighborhood. This is going back some years, and I saw some really, really ugly, tragic things. You know, the aftermath of a killing or the aftermath of a fire, and all that. And it just it made me realize the reality of this kind of violence and this kind of bloodshed and the tragedy of these kind of mutilations too. And because we had some really tragic situations here, and I couldn't, you know, I just became very super sensitive to the violence. And then I happened to see the movie Saving Private Ryan, because I always liked to see war movies. I've always enjoyed the movies for some reason, but this Saving Private Ryan was absolutely too much.
It was very graphic.
It was unbelievably graphic, mm-hmm. and it really sickened me. And since then, I can't watch that stuff. But these perpetrators of violence, you know, the Hollywood, you know, violence, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And yet they're, you know, they come out, you know, with arrogance and condescension and the authority and because these are the gods of our days, you know, of our day. People emulate, they want to dress, they want to talk, they want to, you know, but they come with this kind of condescension. You know, the thing is, I realize this, and I find it sickening as well, and this is kind of the, I hate to say it, but the letter that having ruptured the message, taken out the meat of mm-hmm. the letter, I could hear, because I've been there, mm-hmm. I've seen this, you know, and you know, you kind of humbly, okay, I just say, Jesus, shake the dust from your feet and move on. So yeah, I try to do that sometimes. I guess I'm not doing it because I'm talking about it here, but it is this kind of condescension, mm-hmm. you know, talking down. And I've seen too much of that in my life as a priest from other priests or other religious or people who are professors or people who you know, this is, you know, it's as much as they talk about dialogue and, you know, we got to, you know, it's no, you accept and believe and embrace what we tell you, or, you know, or shut up, you know, I hate to say, you know, but keep quiet. Uh-huh. It's condescension, talking down to. And I think this is what's happening in the country. Many of us are just simply tired. We're tired of being talked down to. We're tired of the condescension. We're tired of the utopian, this unreality, this, mm-hmm. you know, thinking the world is, yeah, Jesus, this is the thing about, and I mentioned it, by the way, they kept that in the letter about, you know, to befriend the world, you know, that we are lovers of life, we're lovers of God's people, we're lovers of God's beautiful creation. But at the same time, I say, you know, quoting Jesus, that was deleted.
Jesus,
that we're lovers
words.
Of life, that we're lovers of God's people, that we're lovers of God's creation, that was kept. But the moment I reflect the words of Jesus, it's deleted. It's mm-hmm. taken out. That, yes, you're going to be at enmity with the world. As much as we want to befriend the world, yes, of course, we want to draw people, you know, to Christ, to life, right, mm-hmm. to Christ, into that light, away from the darkness, into the light. But Jesus says, no, you know, you're not going to befriend. What did Jesus say? He says, you think I've come for peace? No, he says, I've come for division. Now, people say, well, especially in a world like mm-hmm. ours. Well, but the point is, of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. By the way, we're almost out. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to keep going. I'm sorry. Okay.
We need another
hour,
right?
Yeah, we do. People, I just find it so fascinating. I shouldn't say fascinating. I find it interesting. And the president reiterated this when there was the killing in that tragedy in France, mm-hmm. in Nice, France, the mowing down, what, 80, no, more than 100, over 100 people, but eight more than 80 died. Children, women, but the tragedy of it all. Talk about getting, you know, sickening, just so sickening, but the president had to emphasize that this does not represent the religion of peace. Islam is the religion of peace. And I keep saying to myself, you know, I mean, where is the religion of peace? You know, Christianity is, it seems to me, it's like there's this allergic reaction to Christianity in our nation, mm-hmm. as it has been the case in Europe. So, so sad. I mean, talk about the diabolical disorientation. But when Jesus says, no, I've come not for peace, but for division, the point is, I come in truth, mm-hmm. and the truth will set you free. But truth imposes on you. It's an imposition. It's not, I shouldn't say imposition. It obliges you. You have an obligation, a responsibility to choose. He says, you choose life or you choose death. You're hot or you're cold, but now if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. And this is maybe, we're kind of coming full circle, because having deleted the meat of the letter, it's reducing it to lukewarmness. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep what's lukewarm. what's comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and let's delete what challenges. And that challenge may be offensive to some, but Jesus, I mean, why was he crucified? Why was Jesus Christ nailed to the cross and allowed himself to be taken by force? Because he could have done something, but, you know, as he says, the kingdom of God will be taken by force. There are the powers and the principalities that want the demise of the kingdom. And if we play into the political correctness and the, you know, just, okay, it's very easy to say God is love and we're a loving people. We're going to, no judgment. You do your thing. I do my thing, you know. Your conscience is supreme, and so, you know, it's we're not gonna bother your conscience or whatever it might be. You know, we play right into the hand of the demonic. It seems to me, mm-hmm. we contribute to the breakdown of the society, the divisiveness, which is you know, so evident in what's happened to the family, what's happened to manhood, what's happened to fatherhood. Even in the communities where there's this violence, I have to say right now, the African American community, and we know in Chicago, we can't, you know, I get it, that's the reality. You know, who in their right mind is going to, you know, challenge the people? It's, you know, what has happened to the family? Where are the fathers? What kind of fathers are, you know, we're afraid to deal with the reality. Mm-hmm. Not only for the African American community, but for the Anglo community, for the Hispanic, for all, you know, the family. But it's amazing to me that our government, our media, seems to put so much attention to you know, whether it be same-sex marriage, whether it be, you know, the transgender stuff, you know, the whole bathroom issue and all that, you know. What is it in a world like ours today, when there's so much going on, mm-hmm. when there's need for radical reform, mm-hmm. Of the society, which can happen, as Franklin Graham said, as we would say, you know, certainly as Christians, as Catholics, it can happen. It's not going to happen if we don't regain sensitivity to the reality of God, that we come from God, we go to God, and God we live. And this nation was built on God. The God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who has fully revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Judeo-Christianity, which built the civilization, the Western civilization, that is in collapse. I didn't get into this article. I will come back to it tomorrow. The coming Christian collapse. You know, it may seem very pessimistic. All this may seem very pessimistic, but it's the reality.
Exactly.
We've got to wake up. You know, thank God we're in the time of the apostasy, but God, and this is what gives me hope, and this is what keeps me going, is the mystique of the Anawim, that God will ensure for himself a small flock that will indeed suffer the faith, you know, in the name of all humanity. This is what gives me hope. As the church teaches, you know, we have to make that lonely walk down that narrow path, the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, and share in the sufferings of Christ and bear the sins of the world, and intercede and offer on behalf of humanity the salvific grace that comes through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Anyway, we're out of time. I'm sorry to say. We could go on for another hour. I've got the energy right now. So anyway, people, we'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Pray that we will be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time.